Morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service. This is the first of our Harvest Thanksgiving meetings again by singing together the hymn number 50 in your hymn book, the hymn number 50. You'll find it on the page 196. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. When we think of the harvest, we think of God's faithfulness to us in the physical realm and the providing of our food and crops. But this hymn reminds us of God's great faithfulness in every part of our life, especially in our great need of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The hymn number 50, standing as we sing and singing it with all of our hearts. Our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord today for his help and blessing and presence in our meeting. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we gather, Lord, before thee this Sabbath morning, and we come in and through the precious and worthy name of thy only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who rose again for us, the one who is alive forevermore, who is seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory. And, O God, we approach Thee today through His name, through His merits, upon redemption ground. Father, we thank Thee for the perfect life of Christ. We thank Thee that He did no sin, that He knew no sin. We thank Thee that He is indeed the altogether lovely One, the One who is undefiled and separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary, and there upon that cross He bore upon Himself our sin, Thy word says, and His own body to the tree. We thank Thee, O God, that He came to be our substitute. He took upon Himself the wrath of God, the judgment of God that was our due. And Father, we thank Thee that He paid the debt of our sin in full when He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." We thank Thee that He offered a once-for-all sacrifice for sin, never to be repeated. And Father, we thank Thee for that precious blood that He shed. And we rejoice in its power. We rejoice in its efficacy today, that Thy word declares that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all our sins. And, O God, we approach Thee today through Christ the Redeemer, the Savior. We return Thee thanks, O God, for Thy goodness and mercy and for the harvest time. We thank Thee, O Lord, for every good and every perfect gift that Thou hast given to us as a people, indeed as a nation. And Lord, we confess that we are undeserving, Lord, of the least of Thy mercies. Yet, Lord, we can truly say we have lacked no good thing. And even, Lord, as we've been singing, we can say all that we have needed Thy hand has provided. And great is Thy faithfulness. And Father, we thank Thee for the seed time and harvest time. And we thank Thee for all the temporal mercies and blessings of God to us, even in this part of Thy vineyard. And we give Thee thanks, we give Thee praise. And Lord, our prayer would be that even that we might be mindful of Thee and of Thy goodness and of Thy mercies to us. Lord, the psalmist could say it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And Father, we rejoice today that Thou art the Lord of the harvest. And Lord, we thank Thee that not only hast Thou promised that physical harvest, but Lord, You have promised that spiritual harvest as well. Lord, You have promised in Thy word that if we're not weary in well-doing, Lord, You have said that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Lord, we thank Thee for all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, that we can rejoice in pardon for sin, peace that endureth. We thank that we can rejoice in Thy strength and in Thine unfailing grace to meet our needs day by day. And Lord, we thank Thee that it is of Thy mercy and of Thy goodness and grace that we gather here in this fashion today. Bless our coming together, O God, we pray. Father, we confess our sins before Thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. We pray, O God, for the outpouring of Thy Spirit upon us in these harvest services this weekend. And Lord, even from this opening hymn to the last amen, even tomorrow night, we pray that we might know a gracious sense of the presence and the blessing of God in our times together. We thank Thee for all who have joined with us here today. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Meet the need of every heart and of every life, we pray. Bless Thy people, encourage and lead Thy people on with Thyself, we pray. For Lord, those going through times of testing and trial and difficulty, Lord, strengthen them. Uphold them by Thy power and by Thy grace. And Lord, for any that maybe are needing that word of guidance, teach them and lead them in the way that Thou will have them to go. And we thank that the will of God is good and perfect for our lives. And Lord, for any that are maybe walking afar off in Bypath Meadow today, may they know that restoring touch from the Lord. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art married to Thy people. And Father, we pray that they might be drawn into the very center of Thy will, into that place where Thou canst bless them and use them for Thy glory and honor. Lord, for any with us today not saved, Lord, speak to them, be the young, be the old. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised in Thy word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless Thy servant today who has come to minister Thy word. We thank Thee for him and we pray that Thou wilt bless him today. Fill him with Thy Holy Spirit. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto Thy servant as he would preach that message that Thou hast laid upon his heart. May he be very conscious of Thy presence and Thy nearness and Thy help in the pulpit. And Lord, make him a blessing. And Lord, may he be the Lord's messenger. In the Lord's message, we pray. And that through thy word going forth, that thou wilt bless and meet the need of every heart and life. Bless him in his own ministry and his labors, and let the Bible speak ministry. We thank thee for this labor over many years, and the word of God going out far and near. Bless and meet every need in that ministry, we ask, and give thy servant tokens for good and encouragements, and all who labor with them in that endeavor, we pray. And that as thy word goes out across the airwaves, across the world, that there will indeed, in thy will and purpose and plan, be a bountiful harvest in the extension of thy kingdom and the building up and the blessing of thy church. Remember, Lord, those that are unable to join with us today because of age, sickness, and infirmity. O Lord, bless them and minister to their needs, we pray. Others that have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, comfort their hearts. Remember, Lord, those viewing online as well, whoever they are today, wherever they might be, draw near to them by thy grace and power. And Lord, we thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Remember the ministry and the youth fellowship and in the children's meetings and the online ministry and the other outreaches from our congregation. Use each one for the glory and the honor of thy name and the spreading of the gospel, we pray. Bless all our sister congregations today. Remember every minister, every student, every layman who will preach thy word. May they know the blessing of God to be upon them. We pray for our missionaries today at home and abroad, that thou wilt bless them and that thou wilt use them as instruments in the hand of God in thy work, we pray. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, across the nations of the world, build thy church, extend thy kingdom. And Lord, may precious souls be saved. Remember our royal family, have mercy upon them, our king and the royal household. We pray that thou wilt continue to give comfort and grace. But Lord, speak there especially, even unto salvation, we pray. And may they be guided by thy word. Remember our government at this time and those who rule over us in our land and nation. Have mercy upon them. May there be that turning away from self and sin and that which is contrary to thy word. And may there be that acknowledgement, O God, of thee. And that, Lord, those that would rule in our land might rule in accordance with thy word and with thy truth, O God, we ask. Lord, abide with us now, we pray. Grant us help from on high. Bless the singing of your praises, every detail, Lord, of this meeting. Glorify the Savior. Hide man behind the cross. And grant us a gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord amongst us. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 697. 697 on the page 457. Reminds us of God, the great creator of the world and the universe. It says, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The hymn number 697, on the page 457, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. this stage of our service this morning, I want to welcome you all to our Harvest Thanksgiving weekend. We welcome all the members of our congregation, friends and visitors with us here today, and also those that may be viewing online. We thank you for joining with us. Pray the Lord will richly bless you today. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened, led on with the Lord, drawn closer to the Savior. And if you're here today and you're not saved, or you're listening in online and you're not saved, our prayer is that even today you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Praise God for the great promise of Christ in the gospel. When he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Also welcome again our sister Deborah. Nice to see Deborah with us again after a time of surgery and treatment. And we do assure you, Deborah and all the family, for prayers that the Lord will continue to bless and meet every need at this time. We welcome also our guest preacher this morning, a good brother in Christ, the Reverend Leslie Curran, who is really the director, is over the work of Let the Bible Speak ministry for many years. We thank the Lord for our brother, for his ministry, and we pray the Lord will richly bless him today as he ministers God's word to us, and that he'll know God's help and blessing. Also welcome his wife as well, Mrs. Curran. Nice to have them with us here today, and we pray the Lord will bless them as they fellowship with us today around God's word. But do pray for our brother and all those involved in the work of Let the Bible Speak ministry. Through that ministry, the word of God goes out across the continents, far and near, and just pray that God would meet every need and lead and guide and use that ministry to the extension of his kingdom. The announcements for the rest of the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 before the evening gospel service. Trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer. And then the evening gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. And our guest preacher tonight will be our brother, the Reverend John Woods from our John Knox Church in North Belfast. And our brother, Mr. Peter Mander from Portadown, will be along to sing for us in the gospel. So remember that. Pray for that meeting. Make it known. And do all you can to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Our final Harvest Thanksgiving service will be tomorrow night, Monday night. That's at 8 p.m. And that, of course, will be preceded by the half hour of prayer at 7:30. You'll be able to join with us for prayer. We'll be delighted to see you. And then the guest preacher tomorrow night is our brother, the Reverend Daniel Henderson from Unnieslane. And the guest soloist, Mrs. Amanda Reid from Dungannon. There's an added bonus tomorrow night, there's supper for all. But pray for that meeting and do all you can to invite and encourage others in. Ask the ladies just to remember the supper as well and the needs there. So do remember that. Can I just say all the offerings over the harvest weekend go to the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. So do remember that. A special word of thanks to all who have helped with the decorating of the church and all have left in provision for this, and all the ladies, and I think maybe there's one or two men folk involved as well. We thank you sincerely in the Lord for this labour. And could we just say after the service tomorrow night, if you could take home your produce, whatever belongs to you, do remember that after the meeting tomorrow evening. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, we're having a special missionary meeting here in the church. Our brother, Mr. Abraham Jobs from Holland, will be with us, and he'll be speaking on behalf of the work of the Hudson Taylor Ministries in the land of China. This is a reformed missionary organization seeking to encourage believers and churches out there. And God is blessing, though there's much persecution. He'll be bringing God's word. He'll be showing a video presentation. And there will be an offering for that ministry. So remember that. Do come along. It's the first time our brother has ever been with us here. And as we have said last Lord's Day, due to the security of believers in China, that meeting will not be broadcast live on sermon audio. So if you want to hear what's happening out there, you've got to come to the meeting on Tuesday night. I encourage you to come along and attend, and you'll be blessed and challenged and out as you hear of God working and blessing there in the land of China at this time. Bethel Children's Crusade meetings each evening, 6:30, Tuesday night in Tresna, Thursday night Maguire's Bridge here, and Friday in Bethel. And then also remember the outreach for the mission, Monday through to Thursday, meeting here in the church car park each afternoon from 2 p.m., just going out to about 3:30 or so in the afternoon. Want to give out invitations for the mission. There's 1,000 wee invite cards. Want to especially do the immediate area around the church. And if you can help in any of those afternoons, we'll be delighted to see you. I know it doesn't suit some people with work or work commitments, but if you can help in any way in the afternoon, do come along. Or if you do wish to do your own area at another time more convenient to thee, to yourself, do speak to our brother, Mr. Keith Ferguson. He'll take a note of that. We don't want to be overlapping any areas, and he'll give you the invites for that district where you live. But do remember that outreach, please. Friday night, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship meeting will belong to Bring God's Word. And then the service is next Lord's Day, the 23rd of October, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, will belong to Bring God's Word. And then the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. sees the commencement of our gospel mission, marking the 50th anniversary of the opening of the church building here. And the guest preacher next Lord's Day evening is our brother, Mr. Gordon Ferguson, a former member of the congregation here. The singers will be the Wilson family from Clogher Valley. So remember that. The mission continues right through for 1 week to the 30th of October, Monday the 24th through to the 28th each weeknight at 8 p.m. And the guest preacher in the weeknights, the Reverend Fred Greenfield. And then on the final Lord's Day, the 30th of October, 7 p.m., the guest preacher, Reverend Gordon Dean, former member here of the congregation as well. So be much in prayer for these meetings. There's plenty of wee invitations there on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out, and encourage and invite friends and family and loved ones in under the sound of God's Word. This coming Friday, the 21st, at 8 p.m. is the opening of the new church hall in our Clogher Valley Church. The preacher there, Reverend David Priestley. The next Consider Christ outreach will be on Saturday, the 5th of November, down to Mullingar in County Westmeath. Be much in prayer for that. And again, anyone wishing to come along, do let us know, and we'll be glad of your help in that regard. The Lord's Day evening, the 13th of November, 7 p.m., is our annual Remembrance Night service. Also do pray for Colin and Noel, commencing outreach this week for the mission up in Ballinahinch as well. So pray for that. And then as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our brother, Mr. James Little, wife Esther and family. James lost an uncle during the week, and we assure him and all the family of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to the hymn number 738, 738 on the page 472. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. This is a lovely old harvest hymn, 738. Now the year is crowned with blessing as we gather in the grain, and our grateful hearts, grateful thanks expressing, loud we raise a joyous strain. Bygone days of toil and sadness cannot now our peace destroy, for the hills are clothed with gladness and the valleys shout for joy. 738 will stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing.
Oh, Well, we do welcome our brother again to the pulpit. We pray the Lord will richly bless him today as he ministers God's word to us.
May I just express a word of thanks to your minister for the welcome extended, and I count it a privilege to be here today to minister forth God's word at your harvest Thanksgiving service. We look to the Lord for his help, for his presence, and his blessing upon our hearts. We're turning for our scripture reading to the Old Testament scriptures, the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 4, the fourth chapter of 2 Kings, and we'll commence reading at verse 38, the 38th verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Kings. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people, that they may eat. And his servitor said, What should I set this before 100 men? He said again, Give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, They shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Ending there at verse 44 of the chapter, knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's just seek the Lord again in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we continue before thee in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy presence in this service. We thank thee for the great hymns that we have been singing in praise to thee. We thank thee for already drawing nigh to the throne of grace to seek thy face. And, O God, we ask that as we turn now to the preaching of thy word, that we will know a real deepening sense of thy presence and nearness. I cry to thee for help, help from the sanctuary. I seek that fresh infilling of the Spirit so that the word proclaimed will go forth in the power of God the Holy Ghost. Cover this meeting by the blood. Be pleased to grant blood-bought liberty now in the preaching of thine own word. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Of the many miracles that are recorded in Scripture associated with the life and ministry of God's servant Elisha, several of them are recorded for us here in this fourth chapter of 2 Kings. The last two in this fourth chapter really relate to material provisions for the people in a time of dearth, in a time of famine. Elisha, God's true servant, has come to Gilgal. Gilgal is a place that's linked with so many memories as far as the people would be concerned. It was there that they had first partaken of the old corn of the land, so that the manna, the miraculous supplies of manna, ceased. And yet even in this spot, we find that dearth had a great impact and affected it greatly. Elisha has come. He has come to visit the school of the prophets at Gilgal. He no doubt has their spiritual needs very much at heart, but we find that he has also got their physical and their temporal needs at heart also. And thus he gives the command there in verse 38 that they would set on a great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Then we read of one going forth outside to try and gather some herbs, and the only things that he could find, no doubt, were some produce from a wild vine, the wild gourds. And so he fills his lap, as it's recorded here in verse 39, and brings them in, and they're put into the pot, and then the meal is set forth to the sons of the prophets. And as soon as they taste, they raise the cry, "Oh, there is death in the pot." And then God's servant Elisha says, "Well, bring meal and add meal." And due to the miraculous power of God, the death that was in the pot that they had cried out about was overcome. Then we find the second miracle. There's a man visits the man of God, Elisha. He has come with, I suppose we might say, initially a gift. It's going to be a very, very welcome gift that he has brought. He has brought bread of the first fruits. I'm glad that we were singing that hymn just before I come to preach this message about the first fruits in the chorus of the hymn. But he has brought the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk. And again, God's servant Elisha says, well, they are to be given to the people to eat. But Elisha's servant questions that. And he says, can I set before 100 men just 20 loaves of barley? But again, the Lord's servant says, yes, that's what you're to do. Set it before them, because according to the word of the Lord, there will be sufficient. Aye, there will be more than sufficient. These two miracles have many, many points of similarity. They have many points of contrast. If we think of some similarities, Elisha is present in both. The sons of the prophets are present in both. The dearth is still in the land. Both of these miracles have a connection with food, with temporal provision. There are the contrasts as well, because we find the food in the first miracle was prepared in the presence of the sons of the prophets. In the second miracle that we've just referred to, the man from Baal Shalisha, he's coming, and according to Elisha's servant, what he has brought is completely and totally inadequate. And in the first miracle, initially, the pottage, it was inedible. So there are many, many similarities, many, many contrasts, and we could bring a message on those similarities and contrasts. But what I want to concentrate your minds upon and have you focus upon for just a little while is really the faith of the man from Baal Shalisha. Verse 42, "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits." And so as we consider this theme, the faith of the man from Baal Shalisha here, first thing I want you to consider with me is the obedience that we must take note of. We would have to call it the obedience of faith. Elisha receives this gift from him, the 20 loaves of barley and the ears of corn. No doubt he had brought the ears of corn in the husk so that those ears of corn could be ground later for food in the future. But ask the question, why did he bring the gift? Was it just a a generous thought that he had, and he reasoned in his mind, well, I think maybe I should just take this. It would be nice to give this gift. Oh, there's a deeper meaning, surely. There's a greater significance to it than that. What was required according to God's word, according to God's law? Well, we read about the bread of the first fruits under the Old Testament economy. We discover that the people would bring the first fruits of all that was on their land. Let me read to you Exodus 23, verse 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. You see, the first fruits belong to the Lord, and they belong to the Lord in this sense that they were an acknowledgement of his goodness and of his tremendous faithfulness for another year. But then when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, we discover these words in chapter 18. And this shall be the priest's due from the people. This shall be the priest's due in the Levitical priesthood. This shall be the priest's due from the people. The first fruit also of thy corn. Note the words. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep, thou shalt give him. In other words, you're going to have to give that to the priest. The first fruits became then the legitimate property of the priests in the Levitical priesthood, and it was given to them for practical support and for provision. But then as we read further in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 26, we discover these words. Bear with me as I read a few verses to you. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go on to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. So what's it telling us? It's telling us this, that when the harvest was ready to be gathered, before there would be the thought and the action of filling up all of the storehouses for the year ahead with the grain, there must be recognition. There must indeed be remembrance. Recognition and remembrance of what? Simply this. God has given me this land. I have this land because of the Lord's goodness, the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's mercy. God has blessed me in this way, and so I'm going to take the first fruits and present them, and in so doing, I'm going to confess and acknowledge the Lord's grace to me. The people could say here, he's brought me out of Egypt. He's established me in the land of promise. He's the God of covenant faithfulness. And so there was going to be a recognition and a remembrance that he is the God of redemptive love. He's the God of redemptive power. And this man from Baal Shalisha knew this. So it was more than just a generous thought in his mind when he came with the bread of the first fruits. But he has a problem. He has a problem. The first fruits were to be brought to the priest in the Levitical priesthood. But he can't do that. And so we discover that this man from Baal Shalisha brings the bread of the first fruits, brings it to Elisha, to the man of God. You say, well, what was really his problem? What was his difficulty? Well, the problem and the difficulty that he had was simply this. that Jeroboam had established his own kind of worship in the northern kingdom. And no true Israelite would recognize his apostate worship. And so the man from Baal Shalisha then couldn't go to Jerusalem and give the bread of the first fruits to God's appointed priest. That was his problem. That was his difficulty. And so we find then that because he can't go there, he's going to come with the bread of the first fruits to God's appointed prophet. And God's appointed prophet here is Elisha. Elisha, remember, was God's representative in the land. And he's going to bring the bread of the first fruits to him as God's representative. And Elisha is aware of that. Because when he does bring them, we've already indicated that Elisha says, well, you can set it before the men. You can set it before the sons of the prophets. Elisha's not taking it, as it were, all for himself, because he understands concerning the bread of the first fruits. And the man from Baal Shalisha understood it too. And yet we find him in obedience to the word of God. We find him leaving Shalisha, or as we have it here, Baal Shalisha. And his act is an act of obedience. And the Lord is pleased when we obey him. He's displeased when we disobey him. But he is pleased when his people endeavor to obey him according to his own word. There was going to be tremendous blessing attend this obedience. I said earlier that it was the obedience of faith. And surely it had to be the obedience of faith, constrained by love. Because such was the love in this man's heart for the Lord, for Jehovah, Jehovah God, that he must bring the bread of the first fruits, even to Elisha, when he's not able to bring them to the appointed priest in the Levitical priesthood. But love in his heart constrains him to engage in this obedience of faith, this act of obedience, in the face of the difficulties, in the face of all the problems, because God is going to bless this act of obedience. The Bible commentator Matthew Henry said, "What God blesses comes to much. What God blesses comes to much, and what he blows upon comes to little." We do well to remember that. We do need the Lord's blessing in all that we do. How often do we think about that? How often do we pray and ask for the Lord to bless what we know according to his word is in obedience to his truth in what we are going to do? Oh, let's never despise humble obedience to the word of God. The Lord says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." In other words, obey my commandments. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And only God himself can measure the impact of the obedience of one life determined to walk in accordance with God's word. And the Lord here is going to demonstrate his mighty power. And that was one of the consequences of this man's humble obedience. The obedience of faith, according to the word of God, is never without blessing to ourselves, and it's never without blessing to others. But having said that, it will very often meet with opposition from some quarter, opposition from some source. And we see there's some opposition here. Because that brings us to the second point that I want to make to you. Having thought about the obedience of faith, let's consider for a few moments the opposition to faith. When this man from Baal Shalisha comes and brings the bread of the first fruits, the 20 loaves of barley, and the full ears of corn, it's Elisha's servant who asks, well, what? Should I set this small, meager amount before 100 men? Should I do that? What kind of language is that? How would you describe that language? I feel you could describe that language as the language of unbelief. The language of unbelief. How did he come to this conclusion? He's questioning what Elisha has said, what the man from Baal Shalisha has brought, and the unbelief that's in the servant's heart here is being fed. Being fed by what? It's being fed by what he saw with the physical eye. He saw the 100 men. He saw just the 20 loaves of barley. And then from what he saw, he drew the conclusion and he thought in his mind, it's totally inadequate. And he was really saying, look, it's impossible. It's impossible. That had to be the language of unbelief. And, oh, the sin of unbelief is so often in our hearts, even when it comes to the Lord's work. It can be so often for so many of us a besetting sin. Because this kind of reasoning, this kind of logic in the language of unbelief, it has got an easy access to the mind through the eye gate, to the mind, our thoughts, how we reason. It can so easily and so quickly trip us up. It can so often impede the race that we should be running for the Lord. And it brings great distress to the soul. Oh, what distress unbelief brings to the soul, to the heart. And there was such unbelief here in the heart of Elisha's servant. Someone has said that faith is the parent of all holiness, and unbelief is the parent of all unholiness. This food, this bread of the first fruits that the man from Baal Shalisha brought, it was going to feed the people here, going to feed the sons of the prophets. While there was that unbelief because of what the servant saw and thought, feeding the unbelief that was in that heart, God's servant Elisha, he was feeding not upon what he saw with the physical eye, but he was feeding upon the Word of God. And why was he doing that? Well, let's say this, that Elisha, God's servant, the prophet of God, he wasn't one of the stony ground hearers. Wasn't one of the stony ground hearers. Don't we read about the stony ground hearer and other types of hearers too in the parable of the sower going forth to sow the seed on the various kinds of soil? Over there in Mark chapter 4, in verses 5 and 6, we read, and some fell on stony ground, which had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Oh, for that seed that had been sown upon the stony ground initially, there seemed to be the prospect and the promise of a harvest. But that harvest never came. And why did that harvest not come from the seed that was sown on the stony ground? Because the subsoil had never been broken up. And then whenever the sun came out, as we've just read there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, whenever the sun came out, the seed that had been sown, it received the heat from the rock just underneath the soil, just underneath, that little bit underneath. And it was, as it were, sending all the heat upwards. And there was an apparent growth upwards, an apparent growth upwards above ground. But there was no root going downward. No root going downward. And you see the faith, the very opposite of the unbelief. The faith is the root that draws strength and gets sustenance from the Word of God for the child of God, for the believer in Jesus Christ. It tells us this, that we must never make reason and logic alone the measure of what we expect God to do. You remember those words of Paul to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, and unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Oh, we see the language of faith here from Elisha when there was this opposition that came forth. You read of it there in verse 43. He said again, that is Elisha, he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord. That's what it says. For thus saith the Lord. Yes, it was a test of Elisha's faith too. Wasn't it, when you think about it? Will God supply? And if he does, will the supply be sufficient? And if he will supply, and if the supply would be sufficient, will he do it now? So no doubt the faith of God's servant Elisha was tested as well. But Elisha's faith was feeding on the Word of God. That's why he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord. The Lord has given his word. The Lord has given his promise. And Elisha endured in all of this as seeing him who is invisible. And so he says, give them the food to eat, for the Lord has spoken. And the Lord has said that they'll leave. There'll be far more than they need, far more than they require. So you see, the man from Baal Shalisha, by his obedience of faith, he hadn't obeyed in vain, had he? Not at all. He had obeyed God's word. The love in his heart constrained him. He makes his way here with the bread of the first fruits. Oh, the path of obedience is never without blessing. I repeat it again to ourselves and to others. Yes, there's the obedience of faith. Yes, then there's the opposition of faith, to faith. But I want finally to have you think upon the outcome of faith here. The outcome of faith. Here, in a sense, was an hour of crisis. There was dearth in the land, a famine. The previous miracle in the chapter there, just before this miracle that we're concentrating on, would indicate that and would tell us that. And the people had been brought to a point of extremity. And the sons of the prophets certainly had been brought to that point. And there's nothing really between them and hunger. and ultimate starvation. And they were the sons of the prophets. And then a knock comes to the door. Can we express it like that? And here's the man from Baal Shalisha with the bread of the first fruits, the 20 loaves of barley and the ears of corn in the husk. And he was an unknown man to them. We don't have his name. We know nothing about his family or his friends. And he has come from an unlikely place. Shalisha, or as it's here, Baal Shalisha. No doubt that place had been heavily influenced by the apostate worship of Baal. But he has made his way with the bread of the first fruits. So he has come from the unlikely place with the unexpected gift, as far as the sons of the prophets were concerned. And the Lord's going to work a miracle here. Can you envisage the sons of the prophets with Elisha here at Gilgal? I'm certain they would have been engaging in prayer. Could we think of the nation being in such a condition and state as it was in, and the sons of the prophets not praying? Or Elisha not praying? No, they'd be in prayer. Prayer for themselves, in prayer for the people in the land, the nation itself, for daily provisions. For daily provisions. It's a time of dearth. It's a time of famine. And so they're at prayer, no doubt. And yet the Lord chooses, and this is the sovereign choice that the Lord made, this man from Baal Shalisha. The Lord chooses to bring this man all the way, one whose heart is desirous to obey the Lord, to please the Lord. He wants to honor the Lord, and the Lord is going to honor him. You see, even though the sons of the prophets here were no doubt involved much in the word of the Lord, they needed their faith strengthened too. Because what was their task? What was their role? What was their work? It was that of calling the people to the true God, Jehovah. And that was dangerous. Jezebel had killed the prophets of the Lord. And here were these men giving themselves to the Lord, and maybe in some of their hearts there was a doubt. Does God really care for us? Have you ever had that question in your own heart as a believer? Does God really care for me? What I'm facing, what I'm going through, my extremity, whatever it might be. Here's a demonstration of the Lord's power. And this demonstration of the Lord's power was sending a very clear message to them. I do care. And I will provide. And they could understand and see the Lord's care and the Lord's concern and the Lord's provision, because they witnessed the very power of God at work in order that they could even fill their stomachs and have food left over for the next time as well. Isn't that an Old Testament illustration of a New Testament promise? To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord's compassions, they fail not. He's the God of creative power. And he demonstrated his care for them here in a time of extreme need. And you see, the Lord's working and the Lord's power transcends all human reason, transcends all human logic. And it was so even for the man from Baal Shalisha, who in the midst of all of the Baal worship that would have been going on there, as one who knows the Lord, as one who loves the Lord, who wants to serve the Lord, who desires to please the Lord, he makes his way with the bread of the first fruits. What faith he had. What faith he had. It would be good if you find time to read the earlier portion of this fourth chapter of 2 Kings. And we read there about a great woman in verse 8 of chapter 4. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And if you read those verses that follow, you will see that she was indeed a great woman. She was a great woman in so many, many ways. But she was certainly a great woman of faith. When the child that the Lord had given to her died, and then he was out with his father at harvest time with the reapers. And how you can read in those verses how then that she left to go and seek the man of God. Read those verses and you'll see she was a woman of great faith. She didn't depend on human reason and human logic. Oh, that the Lord would challenge our hearts today, that as his people, we might be men and women of faith, believing his word, seeking to honor him, seeking to please him, so that he is the one who will have all the glory. The man from Baal Shalisha sought none of the glory. He wanted the Lord to have it all. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts for Christ's sake.
I'd like to thank our brother today for coming and faithfully preaching God's word, and may God bless that message to every heart and soul. Oh, that you and I as believers would prove the Lord and lean upon the Lord in every circumstance, every situation, every need in life. If you're here today and you're not saved, oh, that you would come to trust in Christ and to rest and to lean upon him alone for salvation. We're going to just change our hymn number, closing hymn 568, 568. Is the hymn we just want to sing in closing, 568 on the page 405. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Our brother has reminded us today of the care of God for his people, and this hymn reminds us of this great truth. We'll sing verse 1, verse 3, and 5 along with the chorus, standing as we sing. 568, verses 1, 3, and 5 along with the chorus. Stand.
He on his faithful air, he died. God will take care of you. He is the Prince of all the night. God will take care of you.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. We thank Thee for the faithful preaching of Your Word, help given to Thy servant and the ministry of Thy Word. And bless this message to every heart and soul. Help us to be like the servant of old who trusted the Lord, who leaned upon the Lord, who looked to the Lord even when circumstances were against him. For Lord, Thou art one that fails not. O Lord, help us to live by faith day by day. And Lord, to walk with Thee, to obey Thee, to trust Thee, to follow Thee all the way as the people of God. Remember any in our gathering today not saved, never yet came in faith to Christ for salvation. Oh, that today they would taste and see that the Lord is good. For Lord, You have said, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Bless Your servant who brought Thy word. Bless his ministry. And let the Bible speak work, Lord, and meet his needs there and encourage him in that work and all who labor in it. And that through the going forth of Thy word across the airwaves, across the television stations, that many will come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safely journey with us. Bless us throughout Thy day. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. May we know much of Thy presence with us and round about us today. And return us again in Thy will this evening, our we pray, and continue to bless. We ask it all in the Savior's great name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.